Have you settled down? Because I say that you gain a man heart through the stomach, so we all sorry. Actually it's individual, huh? It all depends. For me, it's not my emotional needs, because for me I cook at home. I cook for her. Yeah. I do marketing and I cook for her. So it depends. So there are certain things that general, certain things that are subjective. Okay. Now let's talk about this. It came out here again. Space, which I talk about. And respect personal space. Right? Now, though I say just now that we are one flesh and we shouldn't have personal space, what do I mean by that? Because a lot of women came to me and said, hey, look, because many men, they work, the career take out a lot of their time. And then the family already not enough time. And yet, they want a personal space. That means what they want is hindering their marriage. What they want is creating resentment and bitterness in the wife. That's why it is a problem. However, if it's not a problem, right? Now, because when I'm talking about no personal space, I'm not talking that we should not have time our own. Like, one of the healthy way for a marriage is for a woman to have their own woman's group, men to have their own men's group. So that sometimes things that we struggle, we can share and support. This is personal space. However, the important principle is Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3, we talked about also yesterday. How can two walk together unless they agree? That means whatever you want to do, be it hobby, maybe, okay, your husband needs personal space to play golf. Some people, they encounter God through that. If you are agreeable, fine. You are one flesh with that person, your husband. You get what I mean? But the problem is if your husband's hobby that he demanded is creating problem in you, your family, then it's a problem. You get what I mean by personal space? Because if you demand it and the party is not happy with it, like for example, it could be computer game or anything, but it hinder our marriage, it's killing our marriage, then I say we need to kill it because we are one flesh. But if it helps in our marriage, by all means, you get what I'm trying to say, okay? Because as I asked her, she talked about, yes, we need to support your current ministry and space. If you agree with all your heart and not by resentment, okay? Right? Because Amos 3:3. Right? How can two of you walk together in unity unless we agree? So if there's disagreement in one party they want to do, then we need to come to agreement. We always say, don't do anything until and unless you enthusiastically agree with one another. Some people say, hey, God spoke to me to this. I say, hey, look, you are one spirit. If you are truly united with your wife, whatever God told you, the person should hear it. It's because you are not spiritually, you're not close enough. Right? And you run with what God showed you, the other person here is bitter, you know. It cannot happen that way. And I don't think God is pleased with that. Because the commandment is that, husband, you love the wife the same way Christ loved us. High calling. I'll talk more about it tomorrow. Okay? But basically, that's something I need to clarify. Now, because this recognition, affirmation, respect is the same, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, you find that the whole passage is talking about the marriage relationship. And in verse 25, verse 28, verse Verse 33, God repeat three times. 25, husband, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. 28, husband, you love your wife as you love your own body. 33, husband, you should love your wife as yourself. But throughout this whole passage, God never commanded the wife to love the husband, you know. Does that mean that husband don't need love? Why? Why did God command three times the husband to love the wife, but he did not command the wife to love back the husband? God only said two things, especially in verse 33. Wife, respect your husband. There is, God is trying to tell the woman, when the husband don't feel respect, they don't feel love. You see? Like just now, your pastor was saying, hey, some men struggle with communication. I says, the thing is that during the dating time, they don't have this problem. The fact that you choose to marry that person is because he's meeting your emotional needs, right? But why is it that after married, he becomes silent? Right? Here you can talk. Here you stop talking. It's a common problem. I says why? And the worst is, it's not that they cannot talk, no. They talk to their friends. But they don't talk to their wife. You know why? Because they don't get the respect from their wife. When they share with their wife, the wife pour cold water on them. But when they share with their friends, they get affirmation from their friends. Especially when you are not doing your part in playing out a good husband, you're not helping the housework, you're not helping with children, you create a lot of things, and then you talk to your wife. Of course, your wife judge you instead of supporting you, you see. That's how communication dies. We have a couple who come to us who wanted a divorce. And the wife tell me her part of her story, you know, because her husband committed adultery. And then I talked to the husband. And I found out that, but her husband says, she don't respect me at all. And the worst is the background. You know, he come from a family, he and his brother. You know what his mother tell him? 你弟弟拉的屎,你都不配得吃. Why? Because the younger brother is a lawyer. He did not do well in his school. With this kind of background, with such love deficit and rejection, you married. And then instead of getting healing, you get more hurt. You see, he failed in his business, and then the wife, instead of supporting him, he totally shut off. He don't communicate with the wife anymore. Right? That's why sometimes we have a marriage problem, but we don't know why. But we could be the cause of it, you see. Let's look at the Bible. Because many women, you ask them, do you love your husband? Yes. But do you respect your husband? It could be a no. And the thing is that they do not know that through the way they talk, through their behavior, they are not respecting their husband. They don't understand. Right? Let's look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. Now, can we have it? I might just read to you. Now, Micah, Saul's daughter, loved David. The Bible is very clear. Saul's daughter, Micah, loved David. Right? But if you continue to read on in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 and 23, you have a very interesting story there. Got it? No. 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 23. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Micah, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and wheeling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Okay? Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious, was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovering himself. Verse 23, therefore, Micah, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of death. Now, it's about the time where David wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, right? And he was dancing naked before God. It means without his kingly robe, only just with the ephod. And the Bible says that his wife despised him in her heart. And when she comes in, she speaks sarcastically to him. And then the whole story ended with this verse. Micah, the daughter, had no children to the day of her death. Why? Why is it there's a story and you ended with this verse? What is God trying to tell us? Now, some preachers say that, oh, because Micah do not respect David, do not honor David, therefore God cursed her womb and she become barren. Well, you can believe that, but personally, I disagree with this interpretation. What I believe is because I don't think God proactively cursed us, right? Now, I believe here, what happened is that because Micah, his wife, did not show respect to him and speak sarcastically to him, David lost appetite for her, sexually stopped having sex with her. That's why she had no children to the day of her death. Do you make sense to me? So what I'm trying to say is here, look, wife, if you don't respect your husband, you cause your husband to lose appetite for you. And you cause your husband to even want to communicate with you. If you, each time she communicates, he gets affirmation, he gets encouragement from you. Surely, he communicates. Isn't it true? So we got to examine ourselves. I mean, just now I spoke to the man, and tomorrow I spoke more to the man. But I also need to speak to the woman honestly in this aspect. Many times as a man, we would like to share with someone when we have affirmation. Right? Why do we stop sharing? It's when we don't have affirmation. We are being judged. We are being criticized. We are being put down. Therefore, we lost that. You see, it's so important. In chapter Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, is a very, very important verse. Every wise woman built her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears her down. Wow. If I'm a woman, when I read this verse, I will ask myself, am I the wise person who build up or am I tearing it down? But unfortunately, a lot of women, when they tear down their house, they do not know. Do you know that a lot of men are very proud that their husband listened to them? A lot of women are very proud that they are the primary voice in the house. I was brought up. I see my mom is the one that controlled the whole house. And she taught my two sisters because of what she suffered, right? Never listen to your husband. Control your husband. But you are actually tearing down your house. Because the Bible commands. Now let's put it that way. Ephesians 25:28-33, when God commands husband to love their wife, you know the word love in the original language is agape. That means husband, love your wife unconditionally as how Christ loved the church. Agape. Okay? Then in verse 33, when he says, wife, respect your husband. Isn't it fair to say that God also demands wife to respect their husband unconditionally? Am I fair? If God commands the husband to love their wife unconditionally. Now, in Brazil, a woman challenged me, you know. He says respect needs to be earned. I say, oh, hello. Love needs also to be earned, if that's the case. You think it's very easy to love someone that's unlovable? It's not easy, right? It takes sacrifice to love our wife sometimes. They are not always lovable. They make mistakes. They have their weaknesses. But the Bible says, love them, period. You love your wife like how Christ loved the church. Unconditional. Agape them. Agape them. Then he says, wife, you respect your husband unconditionally. Even when they don't feel respect. Because, you know, even if they don't earn the respect, you think by criticizing them, by nagging at them, you can change them? You can't. It's by encouragement, it's by continuously showing respect that they change, you know. You know what's the best way to change a person? When you meet a person's emotional needs. Would you agree? The more you make withdrawal from that person, the more the person do not want to respond to you. They rebel against whatever you're trying to do. Same thing with the kids. The best way that we can change a person is to make emotional needs into a bank account. That's why a lot of parents come to me about their teenage problem. I say, look, the more you fight them, the more they run away. The more you fight them, you demand, the more they fight you back. The more rebellious they will be. What's the only way? Two way. Prayer. Meet their emotional needs. That's the best way to change a person. Even, you know, in 1 Peter 3, God even gave that command to the wife. I don't have it here. 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about the unbelieving, if one has an unbelieving husband. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wife, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wife. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Can you see that? In Chinese, they say, 用自己的品行被感化过来. Now, many wives, when they have an unbelieving husband, they preach to their husband. No. The Bible says, now, very clearly, these are unbelievers, right? Those who do not obey the word. And he says, wife, win them over without a word by your chaste conduct. That means play the role of a submissive wife. Right? And through that, when they see Christ in you, it draws them to Christ. Because many wives, when their husband is non-believer, sometimes they preach to them, or they spend too much time in the church and they neglect the housework, they neglect the children, they think that they glorifying God. They are not. They need to see Christ in you. Right? So it's important how we learn from God, how that we can be a wise woman to build the house instead of tearing them down. Because women sometimes say, hey, the relationship, my husband don't spend time enough with the kids don't respect, because of that, the kids don't respect them. I say it's not true, because they are the culprit. They always speak evil or bad things about their husband towards their kids. I grew up with that. I never respect my dad. Why? My mom always poisoned me with my dad's behavior. Because of the hurt and the pain that she gets from my dad, everything she tells me about my dad is negative. Therefore, I never respect my dad. I learned all these things after, you know, when I was an adult. See, and I find that a lot of women do that. In front of our children, if you don't respect your husband, how do you expect your children to respect your husband? Just now, there's a guy who asked me about this common. I talk about this common ground, right? But he says that what about raising kids when we don't have a common ground where there's a lot of conflict? Okay. Now, in English, I always say sex produce little kids. Little kids produce little sex. What it means is that in Chinese, it says, 我们说我们的孩子是我们爱情的结晶. But many times, 这个结晶变成爱情的祸害. The kids destroy our marriage. Because many women, after they have the kids, they give all their time to the kids. Especially when their relationship with the husband is not very good. Now, they don't need a husband, no? Every emotional need can be met by the kids. They feel loved by the kids. They love their kids. They get all these emotional needs by the kids. So, when it comes to discipline, they don't have a common... They also disrespect their husband. Now, for us, we are very clear. When we want to discipline the kid, we discuss, we pray how to handle a situation. And then remember, by the grace of God, because we pray for our children since every day, okay, every day we pray for our kids without fail. Today, my daughter is 23 years old. When she get out of the house, she expect my wife to pray for her first. Why? Because we cultivated that. So there was once in her primary school, we found out that she tell a lie. Right? And therefore, I did not punish her the way I want. So we discussed how we want to discipline it. It is an agreement. Again, come back to Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree? Don't have your own... Because he was saying that, hey, I come from this background. I come from this background. As I say again, you want your marriage to be successful, 你的婚礼必须是你的葬礼. You need to die to all your way of doing. And come back to what the Bible says, how we can discipline the kids. Most importantly, two of you must agree, pray together. What kind of discipline that is agreeable and you want to exercise for your children so that in the way of when you discipline, it does not break your relationship. This is 爱情的结晶. Don't let that destroy you. But unfortunately, it happens, you see. Why? It comes back to respect. Do we really respect our husband enough? Or do we still have our own way of the way that we want? We want to discipline the kid the way that we want. Are we the wise woman? Are we building the house? Or are we pulling it down? Many women, they pull it down unconsciously and they do not know why their marriage is like that. Right? Respect is so important. Here, in fact, men put it twice, is it? Recognition, affirmation, or they put it on works. What does that mean? 就是在工作上而已啊. Oh, it means also respect your... It means our wife criticize our job? So we need them to respect. Yep. Again, there's also a mistake men make because men don't talk to their wife about their work. Therefore, it's difficult for them to support. It cut both ways, right? Because now, in the old school, they were saying that women take care of the house, we take care of our work, and they don't discuss with the at all. So how do you expect them to support you when you are not communicating with them? It cuts both ways. Right? And it came out again. Now, respect in front of people. Do you really only think that's enough? I believe you need both, both in private and in public. It's not only in public. Then at home, or 你在外面, 波斯猫, 在家母老虎啊, it cannot be that way. You see? Of course, it's important. It's important to respect your husband in public. Never let your husband look, never belittle your husband, never look, let your husband look back in public. Respect them, honor them. It is so important. But in private, also, do you want your husband to only love you in public? Right? No. Private and public, we need both. So do it both ways. Let's look at some verses. Okay, we'll deal with this and then we'll take a close. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. It says, that they may keep you from immoral women, from the seductress who flatter with her words. With the enticing speech, she caused him to yield. And she cast down many wounded. All who slain by her were strong men. Okay. You see, if you read the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 7 especially, the whole Proverbs 7 is talking about how a man is being seduced into immorality by a woman. Right? And many women think that, oh, my husband commit adultery because the other woman is prettier than me, younger than me, more sexy than me, right? 被她的美色给诱惑了. But Proverbs 7, when you talk about the woman seducing a man into immorality, it does not talk about the beauty of the woman. Do you realize that? It doesn't talk about the sensuality of the woman. How did a man being seduced, enticing words, flattering words. What are these? False affirmation. In other words, it's a form of practical respect. How do we all know that we are supposed to respect our husband, but practically how? How you communicate with your husband? You see, in the workplace, you respect your boss. You respect your pastor. When you speak to them, you speak nicely to them. Right? But at home, you scold your husband. And then you say, I respect my husband. You shout at your husband. And you say, you respect your husband. Cannot be. You know what is the expectation from God? Wife, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. How you treat the Lord Jesus Christ is how you should treat your husband. Now, I always say the problem with a marriage is not a marriage problem. It is a faith issue. It's because we don't fear God enough. If a husband truly fears God enough, you learn how to live out Ephesians 5:25 practically, which I'll talk about tomorrow. You lay down your life for your wife. Wife, if you fear God enough, you take Ephesians 5:22 and 33 seriously. You submit to your husband as unto God. When both of you have this attitude, you will not fight at home, no? Do you know that? Do you agree? Today, there's a lot of fight and a lot of quarrels in the family, because why? We do not fear God enough. We do not live out the word. 我们没有行出来, 我们所学的. That's why Proverbs 21, verse 9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house with a contentious wife. It is better to dwell in a wilderness than with a contentious wife and angry woman. You know, many a times we are the one who drive our husband to the rooftop into the wilderness and we do not know. We complain that they spend so much time in work because you know why? They don't want to come home. At work, they get a lot of affirmation. In the ministry, they get a lot of affirmation. They get a lot of recognition. At home, always criticizing. Hey, you never do this, you never do this, you never do this. Is it true? Where do you want to go? Of course you go to a place that you feel respected. It's natural. That's why, but you know, in a way, why we want to do that is because we try to pull them to ourselves. But when we are trying to pull them, we actually push them away. We nag at them. Hoping that through nagging, we pull them closer to us, right? If not, why do we nag? We hope to change them by our nagging. But no, by doing that, the Bible tells us we are actually pushing them. It's better to live in a housetop than with a quarrelsome wife. It's better to live in the wilderness than with a quarrelsome wife. So now you know why your husband don't come back? Respect. They don't feel respected at home. In their career, they feel respected. In the ministry, they feel respected. When they're among friends, they feel respected. That's why they choose to spend more time. Come on. No time is an excuse. We all have time to do what we really want to do. Let's be honest with ourselves. Right? Why? Because we give ourselves excuse. Busy. Oh, this take up my time, this take up my time. No. If we always have time to do what we want to do. 5 minutes, let's have some questions before I close and then we covered the rest tomorrow. Ah, right? Okay. Both has this. Both is written. I need the three circle actually. Okay, let me think. Never mind. Okay, so your question is if at time when she's not lovable, how do we love? Right? You know, in YWAM, there's a very important and powerful teaching. The only way to fight an opposing spirit is to walk in the opposite spirit. Let me repeat. The best way to fight an opposing spirit is to walk in the opposite spirit. That means the more, you see, it's just like the Bible says, a gentle word turns away wrath. Right? Means if someone is angry with us, with a gentle word, we calm the person down. We fight them with opposite spirit. So when they're more lovable, that's where you learn to lay down your life. That's where you learn to lay down your rights. You see, many times we have problems because we want our rights. We must learn to lay it down. I mean, our marriage work, as I say, honestly, I mean, I teach on this, but honestly, it works many times. I look it back, I would credit 80% to my wife because her submissiveness, her gentleness caused our marriage to work. At times, I'm bad tempered. At times, I feel. But her gentleness, her submissiveness, Spirit helps me to overcome it. If she fights me, then we have a lot of problems. You see, someone has to lay down our lives somewhere. Right? Who? Unfortunately, we are the head of the family. We lead the way. But tomorrow I will show you a diagram which is more practical, right? How we actually do that. But basically, this is the... for now. Yep. Any more questions? No?
Okay, we thank Pastor Chow for such a, you know, so many practical suggestions and advice for us. And I think that really going home, read the passage 3-5 times until you can really memorize it and really can, you know, impress in your heart. And that tomorrow that we can receive more, okay? And I think that when we are willing to lay down our lives as what Jesus did for us, then I think that we will live again. Amen? We have to die, then we will resurrect it, right? So everything will be, the new life will come out, right? So we will no longer, I want to do this, I want to do that. Yeah, there's no longer ourselves living inside us. Amen? I think we all need to learn. You know, it's a long, lifelong lesson, but we do need the wisdom and the leading of Holy Spirit and Jesus' grace to help us to more mature and grow into Jesus' likeness and also be the witness and testimony for Him. Amen? Okay, let's just pray together, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today, the whole day, and last night, that we can gather together and set time aside to learn about the relationship, also the marriage seminar. It's so important in this generation, in this now this time, that we can see so many relationship broken, or we see so many marriage problems, that it all come back to, it seems, the foundation, the basics. There's no way that we can just keep solving the problem unless we're willing to learn from the beginning, look back to the Bible, what you really teach us, that our heart will be really, it's just like the soul that willing to read your words and observe all the words that into our hearts and agree that all your words and adjust our thoughts and adjust our behavior so we can really live out to be the witnesses for you. Lord, we just ask that you will raise up so many Christian families that really can be salt and light for you, that be the testimony, the witnesses for you, for this generation, that we can start to really can stand on the broken wall to start to rebuild, that we can see the marriage being restored and the family will be restored and the children will be, you know, the father's heart will return to children, children's heart will return to father, that we really want to see that will happen in this generation, Lord. We just ask that we will continue humble ourselves to learn from you and also from pastors, their testimony, that we can really see that it's possible, that we can really just husband love wives and love wife respect husband, can really be the just like the Christ in churches. Lord, we just ask that you will guide us into your heart. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tomorrow morning the service will start at 10. Combined, right? Is it about 9:30? Oh, 9:30. Okay, 9:30. Okay? So tomorrow morning, 9:30. Okay? So see you then. Okay, take care. 那个 husband and wife, is that separate or together? 就在一起. Okay, 好. Okay. 好吗? Okay. So God bless you.